The government wants to take over my health insurance.
Mine too.
I'm annoyed.
And I'm annoyed.
And we're
a pair annoyed.
Our eyes have seen the gory and the bloody healthcare fight.
And believe in every rumor is America's birthright. Is Obama just like Hitler?
Well, both of their moms were white.
Make sure Fox News is on.
Glory, glory, paranoia. Health reform, it will destroy ya. It's a big socialist ploy. The truth is so far gone. We'll descend on each town meeting, call each congressman a putz. My name's Filbert.
Hazel.
I'm Pecan.
Pistachio.
We're nuts.
Soon health records will be on a chip
implanted in your butt that you'll be sitting on. Health reforms we will resist on. U.S. rankings we've dismissed on. 37th best health system, we beat Azerbaijan.
1,000 emails to my congressman, tell off that low-life troll. On my iPhone, I'll send him a note that's full of vitriol.
Yeah, I think you're typing that on your TV remote control.
What channel is he on?
Illegal immigrants will get big bags of cash when they are sick.
In the House, Speaker Pelosi's trying every ploy and trick
to persuade those blue dog Democrats. She called in Michael Vick.
Is this healthcare swan song? Glory, glory, new death panels. This will go down in the annals of reasons we should change the channels.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Axis Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. Coming up next, the hockey stick and the climate wars. In a 2009 incident that came to be known as Climategate, several climate scientists had their emails hacked and quoted out of context to discredit the researchers and their work. Steve Curwit talks with Penn State climatologist and geophysicist Michael Mann, who was a target of these attacks and now has written a book about his experiences.
I'm Steve Curwit. Michael Mann is a professor of meteorology at Penn State University and was a lead author of the third assessment of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. His career has focused on quantifying the connection between human-related greenhouse gas emissions and a warming planet. In 2009, he found himself at the center of a controversy that came to be known as Climategate when the emails of a number of scientists were hacked. Climate skeptics then selectively quoted the emails in attempts to discredit the scientists. Michael Mann was a major target, and now he's written a book about that experience. It's titled The Hockey Stick and the Climate Wars, Dispatches from the Front Lines. He says this wasn't part of the career he planned.
Well, you know, I started out as a science nerd who simply wanted to be in the lab, at my computer, analyzing data, working on interesting problems. The last thing I expected was that my interest in science would lead me into the center of this raging societal debate about human-caused climate change.
So in your early days as a scientist, you came up with something that's known as the hockey stick graph. What exactly is the hockey stick?
Well, we only have about a century of widespread thermometer measurements around the world. So we know the globe is warmed by a little more than a degree Fahrenheit, but we don't know how unusual that sort of warming might be in a longer-term context without turning to other sources of information, so-called proxy records like tree rings, ice cores, corals. And so what my co-authors and I did back in the late 1990s was to take all of the information available in these natural archives and use them to reconstruct the climate back into the more distant past. And what we found was that the recent warming was unprecedented as far back as we could go, which was 1,000 years at the time. And the shape of the curve, which sort of shows a long-term cooling trend from the medieval era into the depths of the Little Ice Age, followed by this anomalous spike of the past two centuries, sort of resembles a well-known sports implement, a hockey stick. And the key take-home message from this graphic is that that modern spike has no precedent as far back as we can go. And by inference, it probably has something to do with what we human beings are doing. It became an icon in the climate change debate, and I almost instantly found myself a target for those seeking to discredit the science of climate change.
Well, of course, you know, hockey is a very competitive and body-checking sport. If you want to keep your front teeth, you probably don't want to play hockey.
Well, that's right. I've taken a few body checks in my time, but I've given back a few. I was initially quite reluctant to get into the fray, but I had no choice because I was being subject to attacks. There were pretty large forces out there looking to discredit me, and so I decided I needed to fight back against that, and the only way to do that was to jump into the fray, to become involved in sort of the larger public debate over human-caused climate change. And ultimately, I've embraced that role. I can think of no greater calling than to be in a position to inform, you know, what may be the greatest societal challenge we human beings have yet faced.
Now, the incident that came to be known as Climategate, in that incident, your emails were hacked just before the UN climate negotiations in Copenhagen back in 2009.
Right.
How did you find out, and what happened?
Sure. So it was actually a criminal theft of emails from a university email server in the UK, and hackers broke into the server, stole thousands of emails, and then what they did was particularly pernicious. They combed through those emails, and they cherry-picked individual words and phrases and took them out of context and plastered them up all over the Internet out of context to try to make it sound like scientists had been fudging the data.
For instance?
So, for example, in one email, a colleague of mine refers to a trick that he used in a graph that he was preparing. And to the outside world, it's easy to try to make that sound nefarious, right? Oh, these scientists are playing tricks on you, when in fact, if you're a scientist or a mathematician, you know that what a trick is a clever approach to solving a problem, like a trick of the trade. Here's the trick to solving that problem. And the journal Nature at the time editorialized about how ridiculous it was that these, you know, that the critics were taking perfectly innocuous words that are part of the scientific lingo and intentionally trying to mislead the public into thinking that it called into question the science. And it wasn't a coincidence that this happened in the lead up to the Copenhagen summit of December 2009, which was the first opportunity for meaningful progress in dealing with climate change in years. And it isn't coincidental that the various media organizations and groups that were promoting these false claims about what the emails supposedly showed were typically associated with fossil fuel front groups, groups like the Koch Industries, the Koch brothers, the Scaife Foundation's fossil fuel industry front groups like the Heartland Institute. There was this sort of echo chamber of industry-funded climate change denial that promoted these fake allegations against scientists onto the TV screens of, you know, the major news networks. And it was all an effort to derail the Copenhagen summit of December 2009. Now, you know, several years later, there have been, I think, 9 different investigations in the UK and the US, including the National Science Foundation Inspector General, NOAA's the Department of Commerce Inspector General. They have all come to the conclusion that these emails did not establish any impropriety on the part of the scientists. And ironically, the only wrongdoing here at all was the criminal theft of those emails in the first place.
Right after your emails and those of other scientists were hacked, not long after Senator James Imhoff, a Republican from Oklahoma, created a list of, what, some 17 scientists that he believes should be prosecuted for perpetrating the hoax of climate change as evidenced by those emails. What was your reaction to that?
Yeah, I'm proud to say I was on that list, along with the Presidential Medal of Science recipient, Susan Solomon. So these completely outrageous and false allegations that grew out of the stolen emails were used by the usual suspects like James Inhofe, who happens to be one of the largest recipients in the U.S. Senate of fossil fuel money. It was used as an excuse to pursue a new round of attacks aimed at discrediting climate science and discrediting climate scientists. That was soon followed by an effort by the newly minted Attorney General of Virginia, Ken Cuccinelli, who tried to issue a subpoena against the University of Virginia to demand all of my personal emails from the time that I was at the University of Virginia. And it was clearly part of this concerted effort to try to find something that they could use to discredit me, to discredit the science, to discredit the hockey stick. Fortunately, once again, there were people on both sides of the political aisle, institutions, major institutions, scientific institutions, editorial boards that strongly denounced what they saw as a transparent effort to intimidate scientists whose findings might not be convenient to the special interests that fund Ken Cuccinelli's campaigns.
So what do polls today show in terms of public opinion and the legitimacy of the scientific concern about climate change?
Public acceptance of, you know, the basic reality of climate change, the fact that the Earth is warming, and the fact that it has to do with human activity is as high as it's ever been. And that's despite the concerted attacks against the science. And I think that's in part because people are actually seeing climate change now with their own two eyes. You know, we are seeing the impacts of climate change collectively in various types of more extreme weather, that terrible flooding event that we just saw out in Boulder. Almost certainly that had a climate change component to it. Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, devastating meteorological event, almost certainly had a climate change component to it. So people are seeing the effects of climate change directly. And so I think it becomes less and less credible when, you know, the industry-funded talking heads continue to denounce climate change as a hoax. Unfortunately, there is still a large gulf between the public acceptance of the science, you know, maybe at its highest in the range of 70% of the public accept that the globe is warming, and maybe only 50 to 55% accept that it's due to human activity. And if you look at what the scientific literature says, it's 97%. 97% of experts in this field recognize that the globe is warming and it's due to human activity. So we have this huge gulf between 97% of the scientists and maybe 55% of the public. That gulf exists because there has been a hundreds of millions of dollar disinformation campaign by fossil fuel interests to confuse the public about what the science has to say.
Professor, before you go, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, group that you worked with a number of years ago, came out with their latest report recently, their fifth assessment.
Right.
That shows an even more clear link between greenhouse gas emissions and climate disruption. Can you tell me about that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. They've upped the confidence level from very likely to extremely likely. Scientists are willing to say that something is extremely likely, very rarely, that's a very high degree of confidence, extremely likely that most of the warming of the past half century is due to increased greenhouse gas concentrations. And moreover, that the associated melting of ice, the rise of global sea level, and the increase in various types of extreme weather events can be tied to that human-caused warming.
Now, given what's happened to you as a scientist, who started off to just be a scientist, what advice do you have for a young scientist entering this field?
That's a great question. One of my greatest fears is that the attacks against the scientists might dissuade young scientists from going into this field. Fortunately, I think the attacks have backfired. I think what they've done is to raise awareness, especially among the younger generation, a generation that's very engaged in outreach and communication, that grew up with social media. And they're very engaged, and they like communicating, and they see a role now here as a scientist to be directly involved in the effort to communicate your science and to fight back against efforts by others to confuse the public about the science. That's one of the reasons I'm so optimistic that we will get past this current impasse that we have with our, you know, with our politics about dealing with this problem in good faith, that in the near future we will see considerable progress as that younger generation becomes more and more involved in the discussion and in the policy process.
Penn State Professor Michael Mann's new book is called The Hockey Stick and the Climate Wars, Dispatches from the Front Lines. Thanks so much, Professor.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Hear great speeches and interviews at Access Sacramento every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. or go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Just 2 hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on a small and helpless neighbor. Our objectives are clear. While the world prayed for peace, the United States raped, pillaged, and plundered a tiny nation.
The victims were moms and dads.
Crushed.
Friends and neighbors.
Crushed.
Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, unyielding anger.
And among those maimed and murdered, innocent children. These attacks continue as I speak.
What are we gonna do with all these criminals? What are we gonna do about all these crimes? Where are we gonna put all this anger? Such a strange wind blowing and such strange, strange times.
Our military is powerful. The functions of our government continue without interruption.
Our objectives are clear. An Arab solution. Our operations are proceeding according to plan.
Crushed. Down the road I hear a dark, dark clamor. Feet are wet in the ever-rising tide. Could we break the world beneath our pounding hammer? Can we build a cage so big to fit the whole human race inside?
Make no distinction between the
Arab leaders
and the children whose worlds have been shattered.
The United States, by stalling and threatening and defying the United Nations, exhausted every means at our disposal, met every overture of peace with open contempt.
God bless America. Our military is powerful.
We're trimming branches while the roots dig deep. Will they split the rock upon which this nation stands? Behind bars for growing reefer, while the ones who make the bullets murder untold millions, such is man.
Now the Senecas are an Indian tribe of the Iroquois nation. Down on the New York-Pennsylvania line, you'll find their reservation. After the U.S. Revolution, Corn Planter was a chief. He told the tribe these men they could trust, that was his true belief. He went down to Independence Hall, and there a treaty signed that promised peace with the USA and Indian rights combined. George Washington gave his signature, and the government gave its hand. They said that now and forevermore, this was Indian land. As long as the moon shall rise, as long as the rivers flow, as long as the sun will shine, as long as the grass shall grow. On the Seneca Reservation, there is much sadness now. Washington's treaty has been broken. There is no hope, no how. All across the Allegheny River, they're throwing up a dam that will flood the Indian country. A sad day for Uncle Sam. It has broke the ancient treaty with a politician's grin. It will drown the Indian's graveyard. Corn planter, can you swim? The earth is mother to the Senecas, and they're trampling sacred ground. Change the mint green earth to black mud flats as Anna hobbles down. As long as the moon shall rise, as long as the rivers flow, as long as the sun will shine, as long as the grass shall grow. The Iroquois Indians used to rule from Canada, way south. But no one fears the Indians now and smiles the liar's mouth. The Senecas hired an expert to figure another site. But the great good army engineers said that he had no right. Although he showed them another plan and showed them another way, they laughed in his face and said, no deal, Kalimza Dam is here to stay. Congress turned the Indians down, brushed off the Indians' plea. So the Senecas have renamed the dam. They call it Lake Perfidy. As long as the moon shall rise, as long as the rivers flow, as long as the sun will shine, as long as the grass shall grow. Washington, Adams, and Kennedy, now hear their pledges ring. The treaties are safe, we'll keep our word. But what is that gurgling? It's the backwater from Perfidy Lake, and it's rising all the time. Over the homes and over the fields and over the promises fine. No boats will sail on Lake Perfidy. In winter it will fill. In summer it will be a swamp, and all the fish will kill. But the government of the USA has corrected George's vow. The father of our country must be wrong. What's an Indian anyhow? As long as the moon shall rise, as long as the rivers flow, as long as the sun will shine, as long as the grass shall grow.
Scarborough Fair, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a cambric shirt, a deep forest green, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. high on snow-crested ground, without no sleep or night, and echoes the child of her mind. She'll be a true love of sleep's mine. Strands and polishes a gun. She'll be a true love of mine. Tell her to reap it in a sickle billows blazing in scarlet battalions. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and generals born in the soldiers to kill and gather.
That's all, folks.